It was in the heavenly court that God's words rang out. Much like what we just heard, I kind of imagine, actually. That was wonderful. Saying, "Comfort, O comfort my people." To those assembled, angels, messengers, and the prophet himself, a voice passed on a message to the people of Israel. Some had been in captivity for 60 years. Many, no doubt, wondering if their God had died. Others wondering if they had lost favor with Yahweh. And still others who perhaps had been born in captivity, who did not remember anything of promise or of a special relationship, who didn't remember anything of a God other than those worshipped in Babylon. But if last week was a collective cry from creation, here is the beginning of God's response. It is the distant rumble in the midst of drought. Comfort, O comfort my people. Tell my people that her term of service is over. Tell my people that her penalty is paid. Tell my people that her exile is over. A voice rings out, and these are some of the most beloved words from Isaiah or from all of Scripture. Clear in the desert a way for God. Make straight in the desert a highway. Every valley shall be lifted and every mountain shall be made low. Hear the imagery. To a people in exile is a new path home. Not the roundabout way from Babylon to Israel, not up northwest along the proper rivers into Syria and then down south along the coast from there, but rather straight through the desert back home. Here is the presence of God, long thought missing or negligent or wrathful since the exile into Babylon, and it is returning as an entity of grace that does not forget promises made. And it is this presence of God through the desert which heralds the return from exile. And so with this passage, likely written either just before or just after Cyrus of Persia freed the Israelites from Babylon, the prophet is making a theological declaration that the exile ends with the presence of God, culminating in a triumphant return to Jerusalem. The promise never left. Since the beginning, Christianity has associated this passage with the coming of Jesus. The Gospels themselves associate this passage with John the Baptist, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, every mountain brought low." And in doing so, in bringing this passage together with Jesus, we begin to see a potential theology of Christ as bringing about the end of exile. And that's a powerful idea, because exile is an image that fits our world pretty well. Rather than thinking of the world or ourselves as living in sin or sinful or wounded or broken or whatever image we want to use, and I'm not against those images, simply beyond the baggage that sometimes comes with them, can we begin to look at our condition as being one of exile? What are we exiled from? What are we separated from? From creation? We don't need to look too far to see our banishment from creation, our separation from the natural world. From one another? Again, we don't need to look too far to see the way we've chosen and embodied exile in our dealings with one another. seems about as human a habit as it gets, and history has been a story of groups exiling themselves from other groups through some shadowy isms and phobias. Racism, sexism, Islamophobia, homophobia. What's interesting, it's that those groups that use those isms which truly exile themselves. Are we exiled even from ourselves? What parts of ourselves do we not like and so cast aside as something other? Are we exiled from God? What does that even mean? I think we are living in a state of exile. The way I've been thinking about it as I reflected on exile in Christ this past week is that, yes, there is promise here. And that promise is that the coming of Christ precedes the end of exile. And the way I think about that is to steal something from Martin Buber, and if I'm butchering Buber, my apologies to those who care about Martin Buber. It's been a while, so I'll have to read him again. The end of exile comes when we look at the other and no longer see an it, but rather a thou. And what I mean by that is when we see the incarnate presence of God, and I'm talking about Christ as in the cosmic sense here, when we have the ability to see that sacredness, to see Christ, to see God incarnate, when we have the ability to see sacredness in the world, the ability to know that holiness has chosen to dwell in creation, that banishment which we all live under, self-imposed though it may be, comes to an end. And we can look at the other, whether that is creation or another group or our own shadow sides, and begin to see something of God in there. Something incarnate and intimately connected to holiness. And our own exile comes to an end. This is what we're waiting for in Advent. This is the promise of the scripture reading, that the end of exile comes with the presence of God. And it's the promise of Christmas, that God is incarnate, and it is in God's very presence that we'll be led home. Thanks be to God. Amen.